often asked about self-publishing books and writing them. I have some advice. This will be somewhat long and free range, but I think you'll get something out of the facts and experiences I will share with you. Last Saturday, I spent 4 hours at a local gift shop conducting a book signing. That description is probably glorifying it more than the reality. I sat in the corner of a small shop at a tiny table and talked to some potential readers. I gave my sales pitches, weak as some of them are. I sold a total of 5 books. I spoke with a lot of people and handed out my bookmark or card. I spent all of the sales and more buying gifts for people from the gift shop. Yet, I consider that a good day because I connected with people. In these situations, because I am not selling many books or getting much traffic, I do enjoy my talks with people. I can hear their stories. I hear their desires to write or their marvel that anyone can write a book as thick as mine. I hear about their inability to sit and read any longer and how they watch Netflix instead. We talk about other books they like. I tell them mine are good and what they're like. I give some of them advice on writing, such as one young man who has a physics background but wants to write. And of course, we always get around to them asking me how to get a book published or sometimes self-published, which I can talk a good bit about. More on that. If all I wanted to do is offload books, I wouldn't be there. Where would I be? I would be at home writing another book. And I would be following the sage and somewhat mercenary advice of a person like Alessandra Torre. I sat in on her webinar last Saturday night, having been somewhat disappointed with my sales that day. And I found out what I was doing wrong, which is just about everything. I don't plan my books for the market, which means I don't plan them for how I can sell them, but based on what I want to write about. I don't really write that much genre fiction, which seems to be her area. I don't write the steamy stuff. Alessandra Torre has been on the New York Times bestseller list, apparently 7 times, writing thrillers, romance, and erotica adjacent books. Actually, she did give some good advice about things such as the book's descriptions on Amazon. Let me just say, mine lacked zing and put me to sleep, so no wonder people don't read them. And the keywords and categories. So I spent some time rewriting the zingers and recategorizing and rewording. I also took the plunge and did something that is really against my better judgment. I allowed 5 of the books to be published on Audible with virtual voice. And that's a fancy or euphemistic way of saying it's an AI narrator. Yeah, I'm not proud of this. I don't know if it's sold any books yet. Audible gives you a bunch of choices in terms of voices, even Southern and British, and of course, in both genders. And some you can tell what they're going for. Some sound more robotic than others. They sound more AI-ish. This was free, of course. AI doesn't cost anything. And of course, Amazon gets the split. So I listened to one of them, at least the first page or so. It wasn't horrible. Wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. I wouldn't listen to it for a whole book, but there are people that are okay to do that. And perhaps this will be a way to sell books. I don't know. So far, I doubt it meant any sales, but it did seem a step forward in something. I am also redesigning, that is, I'm paying someone else to redesign my website. It's going to have a lot more pop to it. I was bored with it myself. I may be considered the local expert in my circle on self-publishing. I actually taught a college class on it twice, it's at the college I'm about to retire from. There are a lot of things I do not know about self-publishing, particularly some of the fine points of the technical aspects, but I do know a lot about the broad outlines. However, I am determined not to spend money promoting my books. I do not enter contests and I rarely go to conferences. While I will take Alessandra Torre's advice on writing to market, it makes sense that you write with a paying audience in mind. I'm still going to write what I want to. That said, my 2023 novel, Sudden Future, has been a huge disappointment. Let me put a plus in here and explain what I did wrong. My pitch, which now sounds horrible, it's about a young man who finds out his estranged mother is dying and wants him to do something he doesn't want to do. Now, who in the wide, wide world of sports would want to read that? Now I'll say it's a story of redemption and growth about a young man facing a major challenge. The first chapter of the book, if someone will read it, is a hook in itself. It's the young man standing at his mother's coffin, pretty strong, and rethinking his decisions. I need to sell these books. Please check it out. It's on Barnes & Noble, other places, and of course, good old Amazon. Sudden Future itself was not self-published, but so far, 5 of my 10 novels are. So what's that story? How did I get stuck with that? In November 2011, I participated in NaNoWriMo for the first time. For those of you who don't know, that's National Novel Writing Month, which was a very exciting little project when it started and sort of a nonprofit to help people with literacy and writing. And the goal is to write 50,000 words, which comes down to about 1,700 a day in November, which is the worst month in the year to write. I have heard that it has gone away for internal reasons, and it's sad. I did write 50,000 words somehow that year. This was at the time that Amazon was starting up its Kindle business and print-on-demand project. I decided to learn by doing and figured out how to get the book on Amazon my own way. I finished the book by early April 2012 during a horrible bout of flu, and I piddled with Kindle Direct Publishing and put it out there. It was The Unexpected Christmas Visitors, which is still one of my favorites because it is about refugees. And I recommend that one as well. I actually taught a class in self-publishing twice, as I said, which was part technology, part social media marketing at the time, which was just getting started, and part creative writing. Also in 2012, I published 2 more novels with Oak Terra. And then I went underground with fiction writing while I earned a doctorate. In 2015, I published Bringing Abundance Back through Kindle Direct Publishing. And I have done better than average with that one because of my pitch and the cover. The pitch, it's like fried green tomatoes, which it isn't really, but there's some similarities. And the cover has a photograph of a very inviting southern porch. The real version is in Pennsylvania, though. In 2016, 2019, and 2024, I self-published three more, a series of mysteries set in a small town in Georgia. So that's what I've done. And along with that, I've published 2 novels with Colorful Crow, as well as the 3 with Oak Terra. So the advantages of all this, if you know what you are doing and spend the time, you can put out a nice looking paperback or probably other things that will cost you about $4 per copy plus shipping. You have total control over the project. There are a lot of options, and Amazon is not the only way to do this. Ingram Spark and Barnes & Noble also have programs. You can order as many as you want, and you can charge as much as you want for the books. You're on your own. It's self-done, do-it-yourself all the way. So that's why some people might want to do it. And, I should say I've also published 4 Bible studies that way. On the other hand, there are many disadvantages. You may be stuck with all the copies that you order. There's no guarantee you will sell books. Your book may be one more volume on the everlasting pile of really vile and dreadful self-published books. And I know that sounds terrible to say that, but unless you make sure it's as good as it possibly can be, it's just going to be another piece of paper. There are lots of companies out there, and this is a crusade for me that I want to talk about, There are a lot of companies out there that will help you, and I'm putting air quotes around that. You self-publish by your book by saying they are publishing it. They are what we used to call vanity presses and hybrid publishers. Beware. The main reason I talk about self-publishing is to warn the unsuspecting about these companies who will gladly take $10,000 from an elderly lady who wants to write a devotional book and then leave her with dozens of copies of a book with a pretty cover and layout, but likely not much to say for in content. And she tries to sell them and only her friends buy it because it's needed. She wrote a book. I have been in the presence of these folks. I think they're dishonest, but at the same time, buyer beware. You should be careful if anybody asks you for thousands of dollars to publish your book. Now, if they are going to help you with some cover design and some editing for a reasonable price, that's another thing. But just know what you're getting into, like anything else. Caveat emptor, buyer beware. The fourth disadvantage is everybody wants to write a book. Everybody thinks they can write a book. They can't, but they think they can. This way, today, through self-publishing, you can. That does not mean you can sell them or get people to read them. So to move on, a little more discussion about the processes, the good and the bad. Self-publishing through such as Amazon is good for someone who has a platform already and wants a book for back of the room sales or can sell through their website or has a ready-made audience. Today, most publishers, there are exceptions, of course, but most won't talk to people if they don't already have some kind of a platform. That is, they're already famous in some way. And this would not be true of some literary presses, but the big ones, the Harbrace and Harcourt Brace and Simon & Schuster and all that, it would be. Publishers are in business. They are not there to support the arts. They may do that, but they have to make money to pay everybody. For every Hugh Howie, there are hundreds of no names. Now you might say, who is Hugh Howie? Well, I'm a fan of the TV series Silo, which is on Apple TV. I got started watching that, and it is based on the book Wool. It's slightly different, but mostly it follows the same plot line. And his book was originally self-published. But for every one of him, there are hundreds of no names. You will also want to have lots of beta readers, an editor, a helpful proofreader before publishing. You don't want to use the cliched covers Amazon has in its stock either. You'll want to get a cover designer. There will be expense if you parcel out some of this work, but you may want to or have to. Many people want to write their memoirs for their children and grandchildren. And self-publishing does allow you to do that, but it's also going to take you a lot of time to write it, which is time you might be better spent spending it with your children and grandchildren. I have a young granddaughter, and I don't think she cares that I would write a book and be away from her. She'd rather me play with her. I have a better idea, oral history. I can watch you on video. You can save it to a flash drive or some other method. It's much easier and fun. And let's be honest, they're more likely to watch it than read a book. All that said, how does one actually go about self-publishing? Well, I would say, first of all, go to either Ingram Spark or Barnes & Noble or Kindle Direct Publishing and read all the information that they provide. Now, again, they're not the only ones. You can see other ways to do it, but these are methods that will make print books for you. Some methods will only do electronic books and put them out in a Kindle, it's called AZW format, etc. If you are fairly tech savvy, you can figure it out. Although there's some things about it I still find difficult. One of them is page numbering. So some basic information. KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing, the Amazon one, has lots of Q&A forums. you will have to understand what you want. All of my books have been 6x9 trade paperbacks, but there are other options. You can even do children's books with color and photographs and larger sizes and all that. And you can just do Kindle eBooks, which a lot of people do as well. I suggest downloading their templates, especially if you're trying to get started and you've already written something. Download their templates and cut and paste your Word document content into that template. You can also do a PDF, but that you'll have to deal with formatting differently. The template will work well. I use the 6x9, the one in English, but you have to fiddle with it. This is where you might need a more technological person. It can be tedious to make sure it looks the way you want it to. Now, let me say, all of this is assuming you have already edited, proofread, and had other people proofread. So, I would not start the cutting and pasting and using the template till you already have a really, really perfect Word document. There are style manuals for fiction. There are things like M dashes and N dashes, and the fact that if dialogue by one speaker goes into the next paragraph, then the quotation marks at the end of the first paragraph are left out. There's all these kinds of things. But even before you start worrying about this punctuational issues, you need to be sure that your dialogue isn't squeamish in the first place. Let's not have the "she screamed angrily" sorts of dialogue tags. Even "she said angrily" is a bit much. The words "she says" and the actions around it and the words should show the anger without telling it with the adverb. Adverbs in dialogue tags are very pre-World War I style, okay? Modern fiction focuses on verbs more than adverbs. So if I'm going to say again, if some of what I'm saying is new to you, you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to postpone your self-publishing your book. As you work through the Kindle Direct process, it will ask you a number of questions. One is about inputting an ISBN. You can buy a batch of them that you will own, or you can let Amazon give you an ASIN, which is their identification number, that it will only be published on Amazon that way. You can't go to another publisher with that. And that's another thing I forgot to mention, that if you self-publish your book, nobody else is going to look at it after the fact, unless you change it a great deal. You can go to isbnservices.com or a place called Bowker, B-O-W-K-E-R, for more information about ISBNs. For the 9 books I have self-published, I have not bought any ISBNs. Buying an ISBN will cost you something. I've seen different prices, like $23 each. But then you won't be stuck with just an Amazon one. Now, again, if you don't have any idea what an ISBN thing is, you should not be self-publishing a book. An ISBN is that 10 or 13-digit number on the back of the book to identify it. You'll also run into something about bleed. But unless you want photographs that go to the edge of the page, that doesn't apply. You can insert paragraphs, even color ones. There will just be margins around them, and it will cause the book to be more expensive, of course. I have no guarantee for how the photographs will look. I have not done that myself. You will also have to indicate if you have adult content. You will have to write a description, which needs to be a summary that's more of a pitch. To get people to read, you will need to pick categories for the books and keywords, such as it's fiction, it's mystery fiction, it's local, small to town mystery fiction, etc. They have lots of categories. You'll have to promise that you wrote it without using AI. Shame on you if you did. And you will have to pick the type of paper and color of paper. And all that is, those are fairly easy, but then you're going to have to deal with the cover. The cover can be a lot of work. They will provide you some stock photos and types of covers I suggest you get your own because it will look like every other self-published Amazon book. And I had made the mistake of doing that myself. So you don't want to do that. And I'll talk about photographs a little bit later. Then, after you've gone through the cover, and it will allow you to print it online or to order a physical galley print. And that will cost you something, but again, that's how they make money. After all that's done, you get to pick your price within certain levels and where you want it distributed and royalty levels. Now, let me clarify that this is not an easy click, click, click. It's not at all. It's going to take you hours and hours and hours. So those are things to think about. And I'm going to get into some more details as we go. But let me say at this point, you might say, well, is there an alternative to self-publishing? Yeah. The first one is don't publish at all. You really have to think about whether you need to publish this. Another thing you can do is publish in bits on websites or blogs. Instead of putting the whole novel out there, put out a little bit and see how it goes and see if people want to read the rest. There are lots of websites and communities for that kind of thing, especially in speculative fiction, which is science fiction and fantasy. You can enter contests. There are a slew of them. Most of them are sketchy. I don't do them as a rule. But you can check to see if they're legit. You can also send short fiction to literary magazines and similar. Then you can get an agent, or you can find a small publishing house that is not hybrid or that is willing to take you on non-hybrid. So let's talk about those. My publisher is both hybrid and traditional, as are some others. Most are going to be one or the other. Be careful of these hybrid publishers. Know what you're getting into. For clarification, a traditional publisher will not charge you to publish the book. They will give you a contract. There'll be certain aspects on there. And you may likely have to buy copies and be responsible for marketing it or most of it. But they're not going to charge you up front to publish the book. That's called vanity press. Okay. Or nowadays it's called hybrid publishing. Sounds better. A hybrid publisher will charge you for editing, cover design, etc., as well as copies and marketing. The hybrid helps for money. The traditional takes most of the risk. As I said, there are some that do both. They do the hybrid for an income flow and to help people, and they do traditional to be more reputable, let's say, to be seen in a different light. Just be sure you know what you're doing. Now, you might ask, do you need a lawyer in all of this? Well, yes and no. Depends on who you're using to publish the book and what the book is about. If you are writing an exposé of your former employee, you better get a lawyer. Actually, you better just not write the book. If you are writing about a medical procedure or issues and you are not a health professional, you probably need one. You need to be very careful. You would have to have lots of good research. You don't want to be putting information out there that is not backed up by the most recent medical research. If you are writing a novel that is really a biography or a memoir that names names, yep, you might need a lawyer. Again, what are you doing? Why are you writing? Get your forgiveness or revenge by mature and humane means. Do not write a book. You're not a movie star. If you are writing something anodyne and safe through Amazon, probably not. On top of that, you will need to make sure that you get a lawyer who knows about copyright and entertainment law and these kinds of things, not just an injury attorney. This example is not about publishing, but it is relevant. A couple in the town I live, a beautiful young couple, have worked for 3 years or more on a documentary about the dye industry. They have lots of experts on their side and the facts, of course, but they also have legal representation because they are saying things that could hurt big companies. My books are, as I mentioned, Bible studies and novels with totally fictional folks. So the standard disclaimer at the front about this being a work of fiction and any resemblance is coincidental, blah, 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 is enough. Actually, for Bible studies, there's a whole different issue. Unless you are using the King James Version, also called the Authorized Version, the very old-timey one, okay, you have to get permission to use this, to use significant portions of other translations, such as the New American Standard Bible, the New King James Version, or the New International Version. Those versions are translations that are copyrighted. This is an area you need to look into overall. A verse here and there just requires a note on the back of the title page where you put the copyright about your use of that version for the scripture citations. There are limits to what you can use and how much you can use. And so I would recommend you go to a website called Bible Gateway, and you can look and it's a list of versions that it has, and you will find copyright information. It will tell you what to put on the back of the title page and how much you can legally use without asking permission. And of course, if you're writing about the Bible, it would be inconsistent to violate copyright laws. For a modern translation for conservative evangelical purposes, I recommend the World English Bible that you can get from Bible Gateway. It is not copyrighted. It's modern English. It is in the public domain, so you can use it freely. This translation was done so that nonprofits can have a version to be used online freely. So that's what I'm using in my most recent book. Another thing that I do is that I use a lot of different versions so that I'm not just depending on one. Now, what about other kinds of books or published materials? If you're quoting a song, you need to check the copyright and get permission if it's the whole thing. If it's a line, 4 or 5 words, it's okay. A whole verse, you need to get permission because that's a significant part of the song. Unless it's very old, like a hymn before 1950 or a folk song, you would need to get permission. Obviously, Old MacDonald doesn't need copyright permission. Renditions of it do. So a recording in a movie is a different matter. Now then there's photographs. Oh my, you cannot just take something off the internet and put it in your book or cover. Definitely permission on any photography. There are stock photo sites like Fiverr you can use. Also Wikimedia, not Pedia, Media. I used it recently for a cover, but you have to look and see if it is in public domain or free to use without permission. It likely is not. Best bet, take your own photos or have a friend do so, or pay people for their work. The internet and AI has made that harder. And of course, you can use AI, but keep in mind that AI is just stealing from everybody to create what it creates. But you don't want someone seeing your book and saying legitimately, that's my work, and getting a lawyer involved. Creative Commons is a different issue. Creative Commons is for free use, but the originator can stipulate no use for money. We wrote a textbook in the college that I work in, my department, and no one can sell that for money. Although people have tried, because it's under Creative Commons license. It's a great thing for educational purposes and community, but there are limitations. All this is to say, do your homework on these issues. Don't get into self-publishing until you know what I'm talking about. As to getting an agent, I recommend something called Query Tracker or going to conferences, but then do your homework. Who is your book for? Who would want to buy it? What's it like that's already been published? You need to have at least 3 really strong and well-edited chapters, at least. Some are going to ask for a 1-sentence, a 1-paragraph, and a 1-page, and then a 3-page summary of the book. So you can't just go in and say, I have an idea for a book. Here's my plan and pitch it. It has to be documented. 3 chapters, well-edited, that's a minimum. It should probably be more done than that. Agents do not or should not charge you up front. If they say, I will be your agent for X amount of money, that's a scam. They only get paid when they sell something. So they have to be selective about who they take on as a client. But if you can get one, that is your most likely way to a larger publishing company eventually. All that said, I may very well keep self-publishing because I want to write what I want to write, keeping in mind that it has to be good and have a hook, have an appeal. But I have no delusions about whether I will sell a lot of books. So going back to Alessandra, one of the things she spoke of that I've done very poorly, as in not at all, is gathering email addresses for sending out announcements or even having a newsletter. It's something I'm contemplating now that I'm going into retirement. I do have a lot of people I can get email addresses from, and I can use my website for it. I have enough street cred now to do so. Another thing is to use giveaways. That's a good way to get names, and it's an email addresses. And also, Goodreads has giveaways. My publisher has done that with two of my books to get buzz. You can give away a book in a lottery, that kind of thing. I did that one time. So I'm going to end by saying that marketing matters. Marketing takes up a great deal of time. I have also been told that a publicist is needed, but a publicist is an expensive upfront cost. You probably don't want to do that until you know you've really are something good and that you're doing something good. Basically, one must decide if writing is all passion or all business at some level. It can be both, partially, but you have to make a decision as to how much you're going to spend on each one of those. Thanks for listening. I hope this has been helpful and that you'll play it again. I plan to put it in a physical format on my website. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll listen to the other episodes in these podcasts and stay tuned for what's coming up. Bye-bye.